Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Listen to Less. Today, we are going to discuss the pelvic floor. You guys have heard me mention this before, but I'm going to say it again, and I'm probably going to say this again the entire season of Fertility Health here. Your pelvic floor is just as important now, even if you're not currently pregnant or not postpartum. It's so important now, just as important as it is when you are pregnant or when you are postpartum. So that is what we're going to learn about today with a special guest. Her name is Jennifer Sharp. She is a certified pre and postnatal corrective exercise specialist, and she is here to give us all of the pelvic floor knowledge. So welcome, Jennifer. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to chat about this with you today.
Yes. Okay. So let's just dive right on into it. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself first and how you got to be such a rock star resource of the pelvic floor?
Yeah, absolutely. So the title that you led in with is a huge mouthful of words, pre and postnatal corrective exercise specialists, a lot of things. But what it really means is basically I'm the girl that you go to if you're having some sort of pelvic floor symptoms. So if you're having bladder leaks or if you're dealing with prolapse, diastasis recti, or painful sex, that type of thing. You would come to work with me to overcome just those are just touching on a couple of the issues that I see most in my life. And I got here because as a mom of three, I did not have this information. When I first started having babies 11 years ago, my first was a C-section, and I did not realize the implications that that would have on my pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. And so I went about a decade of dealing with multiple issues that I didn't realize were all interconnected to the pelvic floor. And so once I started to peel back those layers, I was like, why do we not have this information more readily available to women? There's an abundance of mothers out there, obviously, who need this, and we're just not getting it. And so I took it upon myself to kind of come into this realm and get very educated in it and just serve other women so that nobody else has to go through what I went through, because it was a decade of insanity, really, like just keep doing the same thing over and over again without a result.
Yeah. You mentioned something that I had never thought about before. And I know this season is kind of geared towards like prenatal and preconception health, but I am curious for my own curiosities. Is there different implications on the pelvic floor from a C-section versus a vaginal birth?
Yes. This is a great talking point. Because I did not know this, but think about it. When we have a baby, our body naturally wants to do what it wants to do, right? Which is contract the uterus after we birth this baby. So whether that baby comes out vaginally or C-section, that's still going to happen. So the beautiful thing about a vaginal birth is all those muscles lengthen out. Now they contract back, come back, hopefully to a normal resting state. But after a C-section, they haven't been lengthened out. They're still going to contract. So it's creating a lot more tension than maybe we would have initially had we had that vaginal birth. So this is something that we don't even think about, as we think, well, we saved our down there because we didn't push a baby out of it. But really what I'm seeing is most women who have had a C-section come to me with very high tension in their pelvic floor, and they've never heard of this or thought about that in that way, that your body is responding to birth.
Right. Okay. Wow. That's very interesting. And that's one thing that we're going to talk about today is like, what is the difference between a tight pelvic floor and kind of needing to strengthen it? But before we go there, let's take it back a step for the listeners. What even is your pelvic floor?
This is a great question. We hear a lot about it. It's a buzzword right now, especially like in social media. We hear pelvic floor. But what is it? So basically what I like to say is it's a group of muscles, basically. There's a whole bunch of them that live in that pelvic bowl, and they each have different functions. And basically what it does, it has five big factors that it needs to take care of. So it supports your organs, your internal organs. It acts as a sphincter, so that is your bowel and bladder habits, sexual function. So we know what that means. It helps us get aroused. It helps us to receive all the love in there. Acts as a stabilizer, so the stability of your whole body can really be jarred if something's not quite right in that pelvic bowl. And then a sump pump. So it helps pump your blood and lymph throughout your body.
Okay, it does more than I thought it did. And
It
I'm
does a
sure it
lot. Like if
does.
you think about like a bicep, it's just really like what doing one thing, but your pelvic floor does a lot of things. And that's just like the tip of the iceberg. It also, if we want to get a little woo-woo, like it
Yeah,
really
we
has a
do.
lot of implications in your mental health as well, and your anxiety and all of that. There's some dysfunction in there that a lot of times we see these two things kind of parallel.
Do you know the science behind that?
Vagus nerve, let's go
Okay.
there. So your vagus nerve runs all the way down through your body. It starts in the back of your head, all the way down. It touches on all of your major organs and ends in that pelvic bowl. So if we're holding tension there, it's pressing on that nerve and it's telling the rest of our body to be in fight or flight. Like there's an imminent
Yeah.
danger. And so that rises through our entire body. So we might see things like we have high anxiety or really we live in fight or flight. A lot of times people don't recognize that they are living in that fight or flight too. So it just ripples through our entire system, really, the whole body, mental and physical.
Yeah, I've talked about the vagus nerve on the podcast before, so that makes sense. Guys, I want to take a second to tell you about something that I have been working on for a very long time. You've probably noticed a lot of my content has shifted towards fertility. If you're trying to get pregnant in the next, 1, 2, 3 years, working on your health right now, your preconception health, and things that you should start doing or start becoming aware of because infertility is creeping up and up and up as the years goes on. Infertility is such a big issue now compared to before. There's the argument of is it because we have more education around it so we can identify it? Or has it always been this bad? Or is it actually creeping up? Regardless, I want to be proactive about my fertility. I do not want to be reactive where I get to where I'm struggling with fertility and then I start doing stuff. You know what I mean? I want to work on my body to be my most fertile self right now so that when I do go to start trying to conceive in the next 1 to 2 years, I have the best fighting chance. So I have created a membership. This membership is going to have a couple different qualities to it, and it's going to be very affordable. I'm talking less than $15 a month to join this membership. So there's going to be a couple different components to this membership. First and foremost, if you listen to this episode, you know that your pelvic floor is super important, right? So there is going to be a couple different strength programs that focus on your pelvic floor and your overall strength in areas that when you get pregnant or when you are carrying a baby, like your biceps, your back, your pelvic floor, your legs, what areas of your body need to be strengthened so that you don't have as many aches and pains and you're just a little bit better equipped for that time of your life because you're gearing up for a marathon, right? So I have several strength training programs that are based on strengthening those areas of your bodies. I'm also going to have cycle syncing workouts. So you're not, pregnant yet, or you can join if you are pregnant or if you are postpartum and gearing up to have like another baby. And I'm going to have cycle syncing workouts where you can pick strength-based workouts that still incorporate your pelvic floor, a lot of those muscles I just talked about, but it's not a 25-week program. It's more of just okay, I'm in my follicular phase. I want a hard and heavy workout. So I'm going to pick a workout from the follicular phase. Or actually, I'm PMSing. I'm like 2 days out from my period. I just want to do like a yoga flow, but I don't want to go to the yoga class. I'm going to do a PMS workout. So you will have access to both types of workouts. Then you will also have access to the resource center. So this resource center, I promise it's better than it sounds. I'm going to drip in several videos a week that are just little micro learning topics about hey, BPA is known to decrease your fertility. You should probably consider removing certain products from your home that have BPA in it. And I'm going to give you examples of exactly what to do. I'm going to give you different tools and resources of what to switch, how to switch. I'm going to talk about what is the best prenatal vitamin. What should your nutrition look like? What's a hormonal imbalance that messes with fertility? All of these things, but it's going to be very niche and it's going to be very direct and education based so that you can start doing these things to have the best chances of fertility when you do start trying for kids and trying to conceive when you're ready for that. So pay attention to my stories, pay attention to my Instagram, because this is going to be launching in the next couple of weeks. I would say in the next 2 weeks, it's going to go live. I will probably do a little bit of a promo on my Instagram and give 2 people free access. It's also just a month-to-month basis type of membership. So you join for, I think I'm going to put it around the like $10 to $12 range. You join for 10 bucks. If you don't like it, you can leave the next month, or you just continue to stay in it until you're like, okay, I'm good. I don't need this information anymore. And then you can leave, but it's literally going to be like less than $15 a month for all of this information at your fingertips. And then it will all be stored there so that you can go back to it. I'm going to talk about sperm health, all of the things. So stay tuned, pay attention to my stories coming up for if you want to be entered to be able to have a free membership to this. Pay attention for that. I'm so excited, and just keep your eyes open on my page if this is something that sounds like you would be interested in, okay?
And that's actually really cool and not something that I thought about before.
Yeah, but it's cool. I think a lot of people don't realize that they start working in my realm for the exercises, and then they're like, wow, like I'm just so much more joyful, or I have less stress. And I'm like, this is not a coincidence.
Yeah. It just goes back to show that the body works as a whole, and a holistic care, like with an H-O-L, holistic, actually comes from W-H-O-L-E, like whole body care is what yes. holistic care is, because you're, and even just everything intertwines with your body. Nothing is in isolation. And so when we try to treat things in isolation, that's why it doesn't work.
Exactly. Ooh, exactly.
Love it. Love it. Okay. So for those listening, they're like, okay, you've got me intrigued. I now know what my pelvic floor is and kind of what it does. What are some of the signs or like major pelvic floor dysfunctions that you see most common in women, whether that's preconception, during pregnancy, or postpartum?
Some of the biggest things women come into me for is it's usually bladder leaks. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. And I'll say that if you're experiencing bladder leaks, you've probably been experiencing other symptoms, but you're not dealing with it or recognizing it because there's no tangible, something you can mm-hmm. feel, right? You're not okay. recognizing it because of that till the leaks happen. Yeah. Leaks are usually not the first thing, but that's what women come to me for. So bladder leaks, okay. painful sex, that strong urge to go pee, that's an issue. If you have knee, hip, or foot pain and something's not quite right there, that's indicating that as well. If you have a lot of neck or jaw tension, if you are somebody who has TMJ or you find like you're constantly clenching your teeth, that's an indicator that we have some pelvic floor issues to check out. If you have issues inserting or keeping a tampon or a cup in, if you have high anxiety or shallow breathing pattern, what's another one? Postural alignment. So a lot of women will come to me because they have that lower belly pooch, and it's really the tilt that's happening in their mm-hmm. pelvis. So when we can correct that, it dissipates that pooch that they see. So
yep.
Okay. Yeah, those are the big ones.
I have pelvic floor issues. It's like
I think we all do to some degree. So that's kind of like, it's normal, and it's wonderful that we can normalize it and mm-hmm. just recognize that, like, hey, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nothing to like check out.
Yes. And that's why I'm so curious, because I'm like, I started recognizing these things in myself. I could not jump rope without peeing myself. I've never had kids, and this would happen to me in my teens.
Yes.
But I think it's because I did Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah.
So I was constantly catching a really heavy barbell, like twice my body weight, and my pelvic floor was expected to just hold that and like just contract really quickly. And then I started having hip issues. That's what kind of when I started having more anxiety. I do notice like I have a huge like pelvic tilt when I stand, and all these things. And I'm like, wow, this has been, and so that's just more of a testament to women listening. Pregnancy isn't always what causes pelvic floor issues. Like I started having these issues when I was a teenager.
Absolutely. And I hear this from a lot of women that I work with who have teenage children that do gymnastics or trampolines type sports. They're like, my kid leaps. And I'm like, yeah, it can definitely happen without ever birthing a child. Even like small children, when we're potty training them, if we think about that, it can start right there. That you hear moms all the time, oh, my kid is constipated, they won't poop. Well, that could very easily be and most likely be a pelvic floor issue. It's just now we have to train their habits to be different.
Are you a fan of the squatty potty?
I love the squatty potty, the best thing ever invented. My kids know as soon as they get in the washroom, they're like putting one there. If it's me going, because your kids want to watch you pee all the time. It's like a fascinating thing for them. They'll set it all up for me and they're like, okay, mom. So training them young.
I love it. We just got one, and I've like thought about it, getting one. I don't know why it was such a big decision for me, but I had thought about it for so long, and I finally got one, and I'm like, it shortened the amount of time I'm in the bathroom drastically. You sit on
Yeah.
that thing and it's just like, oh, I'm done. And
It's so
before it was like,
easy.
there's some straining, it was crazy.
Yes. Oh, there's another symptom too. Constipation. That's a great one. Like if you're constipated all the time, it could be very easily a pelvic floor symptom. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So is there a difference in a tight pelvic floor versus, like, I don't want to say loose pelvic floor, but a loose pelvic
A
floor that
loose pelvic
needs, or
floor.
weak, I should say weak. Is there a difference between a tight pelvic floor and a weak pelvic floor?
Yes and no. So, a tight pelvic floor is a weak pelvic floor. So, if we think about it again, going back to like the bicep, if your bicep is stuck here, it can look really strong. Like you see that flex and there's some muscle tone happening there. But if it isn't able to work in its full range of motion, it's a weak muscle. Right, we need that full length and contraction for it to be a strong muscle. And same with your pelvic floor muscles. They need to be able to lengthen and contract. So a tight pelvic floor muscle set is weak. And then there's sometimes the opportunity where there's like the weakness because of loose muscles, or they're just so lengthened out that now we need to get them to reconnect and be able to contract. I will say I see way more tight pelvic floors than I do just overall weak. That's really uncommon in my world. So we've
Got it.
kind of been sold that lie too, that like, oh, you're loose and things like that. Like you don't want to be tight. You don't want to be tight down there.
So what are some, you kind of already talked about symptoms or dysfunctions of what people can look for and realize, okay, maybe this is something that I need to consider and work on. What is the next step that someone is listening? They're like, okay, she just listed all of these symptoms that I have and I didn't realize were my pelvic floor. What would you say to them to do first?
My first step, because of what my title is, I kind of bridge the gap between fitness and the medical world. So my first step is always to refer to a pelvic floor PT, get assessed. They don't have to do internal work if that's not in your comfort zone. But being assessed will really give you so much value and insight into what's happening in your body that from there you can start to create a plan or work towards a goal. That's huge. Just knowing what it is that you're dealing with.
Do you work a lot with referrals for
I
women?
do, yes. I work hand in hand with a pelvic floor PT here in the Falls that I refer to, but I also have like a bank of women throughout the world that I can tap into if somebody was from, Florida and they were looking for a good pelvic floor PT. So I have those resources as well.
I am curious, do you find, because in my world of, I bridge the gap between like nutrition and disease prevention. So I find it's very difficult to get lab referrals that I'm suggesting from a functional standpoint. Do you find that same issue, or do you see that in the pelvic floor world, they're very open, like, come to me whenever, let's assess you? Or do you feel like they need to have serious issues, like a prolapse, before they're going to get accepted into? Do you see what I'm saying? Does that make
No,
sense?
yeah. It's actually what I've found is very easy to get in. there's so many pelvic floor physiotherapists popping up all over the place right now, which is wonderful. There's so many women getting into this field because we see that there's such a need for it. And what I would say, though, is finding the right PT for you is more of the issue than actually getting to see one. Because I hear from women that, okay, they saw this person, maybe they didn't jive so well. And so maybe they're feeling a little discouraged. And so I have to encourage them to find a different provider because, you know, different people have different specialties, even though it's the same title. Or just different personalities in general, like bedside manner. Maybe that is very important to some people versus other people that are like, you know, it doesn't matter to me, whatever. So that's the gap that I do see. But no, getting in is usually easy.
Okay, cool. Well, that's reassuring. I feel like with women's care in general, it's like, why is it so difficult for us to get
Seeing a gynecologist here in Canada is very challenging. To get referred to into that is, it's hard. And yeah, our medical system doesn't make it easy for us, to be fair.
Yeah, it's so complicated, but that makes me happy that this field we can actually just get checked out for wanting to, like, as preventive care as well, not always just reactive care. So that's cool. So do you, okay, so that would be the first step. So then when it comes to you and what you are doing with your clients and patients and whatnot, what would then be some of the things that, like, someone went and they got checked out, they have like, okay, my pelvic floor is very tight, it's very weak, I need to start working on some of these things. What are you doing with clients to then help them?
So typically what I have them do is we start off almost always with just breath work. We undervalue how impactful breathing well is in our entire system, let alone our pelvic floor. So if you think about your diaphragm and then your pelvic floor, right, they're parallel to one another. So they have to flow together with your breath. So you inhale, everything descends, exhale, everything should come up. So where am I going with that? So that's where we start. We start with breathing, because a lot of times I see women who are, their breath pattern is discoordinated. Maybe they're living in a shallow breathing pattern. It's all up in their chest. So they're not impacting that pelvic floor the way that we want them to. And then from there, we start to progress into exercises just to start mobilizing and moving and getting that strength going up. And then we add some progressive overload throughout the process to just really oomph that strength up. And then a lot of what I do too, it's not just exercises. It's a lot of stress management. It's a lot of other tools that are not just, okay, here's your exercises for the day. It's okay, take 5 minutes and go meditate or journal or whatever feels good for you. Go outside and just be in the sunshine. Those little stress management pieces are so important when we're thinking about healing our pelvic floor.
Okay. That's making me think of something from the Girls Gone Strong, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, is that because when we're stressed, we tend to do shallow breathing. So then that is preventing our pelvic floor from moving up and down with our breath. So we need to work on reducing our stress so that we can have that more full breath.
That's part of it. Yes.
Okay.
Another part of it is if you think about that fight or flight mode, right? When we know we're in imminent danger, what is our body's natural reaction? It's to tense up. If you think about like a dog that you're scolding the dog, what does it do? It tucks its tail. And we do the same thing. It's not necessarily looking the same, but we do the same thing. And we tense up, especially in these vulnerable areas. So the pelvic region, our neck. Because if something happens to our neck or our pelvic region, we are in imminent danger. So,
right. Okay. Well, that's cool. It's so interesting. I'm loving this discussion. So what are some ways that people can work, or some exercises, or just maybe not exercises, but things that people can work to relax their pelvic floor aside from just like journaling and working on stress?
Again, it really does come down to the stress management. That's huge, 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 huge. And then stretching is wonderful. But again, if we aren't in a state where we can find that rest and digest phase, It's going to be working in opposition to what we're trying to do. So there's a lot of stretches that we can do that will help support our body in lengthening out the tissues and the muscles. And that goes so far, but it has to be paired with that stress management. Otherwise, we're just going to keep coming back to that same point and having to start again, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of like if you strain your hamstring, like, or something, it's not always that you need more stretching. You may need, you know, more rest and, or to strengthen it more instead of just constantly stretching it.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. Okay. Well, that makes sense. What is your take on a Kegel?
When I read this question, I was like, this is a loaded question. Oh my goodness.
And I want the loaded answer.
I think society has us in a way where we think that slapping Kegels onto everything just is going to heal the whole world. And that couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, most of my clients, I ask them to stop Kegeling if they have been, because we're dealing with tension. And most of us are doing them wrong. I hate to break it to your listeners. You're probably Kegeling wrong.
Yeah.
Because we think it's just like grasping, like we're clenching everything. Yeah. And I see people that, you know, they're bouncing up and down when they're doing them. I'm like, it's all glutes. It's all glutes. The glutes are wonderful. We need them too, but we need your internal muscles to do the work here. So Kegels to me, they have their time and place. And once we can better understand, you know, if we're holding tension or not, that's going to be really telling us what we need to do next. More Kegels or less Kegels. And if you're just Kegeling to Kegel, you're probably adding tension to an already tense situation. So we want to kind of undo that tension. So a lot of times what I'm teaching people is what I call the un-Kegel. So instead of gripping and pulling up, we're thinking about letting those muscles come down. So as we inhale, feeling that all kind of subdue and come down.
Okay.
Yeah. So Kegels, I don't know. I feel like there's so many more exercises that are way more beneficial to your pelvic floor and strengthening than just Kegels alone.
I would agree. And that's, I asked this because I think when women think pelvic floor, they just think, oh, I got to do more Kegels. I got to do more Kegels, 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 Kegels. It's what we've all been like told.
Yes.
And the more I learned about it and through watching your like amazing content, I'm like, okay, the Kegels are not always the answer. And maybe like we should be doing less Kegels.
Way less Kegels.
Yeah.
We put so much emphasis on it.
Yeah, for sure. So I have a question about sexual health that I think this is a topic that a lot of women, they're probably scared to bring this up to a provider, or they're like, don't even realize it. But can you give me an example of what, cause I know that certain like pain with sex is one of the symptoms that, or could you just touch a little bit more on that to kind of open that discussion for women?
Yeah. So there's a few different types of pain with sex. So that can be pain with insertion or just pain in that general area before anything even goes in there. Lots of different things. So I'll use myself as an example, because this was a huge issue that I had to overcome after the C-section. I suffered through pain. Like we literally had sex to make babies. That was it, because I just couldn't bear that any longer. And so sometimes what we see when we have these prolonged periods of pain with sex is secondary vaginismus. So where our body kind of recoils at the thought of it. So it's like, I used to joke, like my husband needed like a crowbar to get in there, because my body was just like, I know it's going to hurt and I don't want that, because it's protecting itself. And so your stress and everything rises up and you can't get blood flow to a stressed out area that's tense. So that, you know, stops you from having orgasms and that all that feel good part of it. So we're missing out on all of that. And then what you're talking about here is in your, what is it? Preconception. Like if our pelvic floor is tight and we're trying to invite it to have a baby in there, we want that suppleness. We want it to be you know, inviting, an inviting environment for that to happen. And so when there's a lot of tension and stress, it makes it harder for our body to do that. And so if there's pain in that area, it's just going to trigger that stress signal to our brain that says, like, we're unsafe. This is not good.
I wonder if, and maybe do you know if there's any connections between fertility rates and pelvic floor weakness or tightness from that kind of, I'm thinking more of like a woo-woo of like, if your pelvic floor or if your body is like, no, there's, we're too tight, like we don't want something in there, if that is kind of like maybe leads into less ovulation or less attachment for fertility. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, they're just starting to like understand this better. Obviously, like we're starting to really know this more. But there is a link there where if we're having a high tension in our pelvic floor, that it's harder to get pregnant. Yeah. And that it's the tissues, it's the mental side of it, all of that, right? It affects our fertility for sure.
Yeah. Wow. That is very interesting. And it's just one of those things where it's like the body, your body keeps the score, and also like your brain is so powerful as well. And that's why I think it's so important to work on stress, your thoughts, how you speak to yourself, like paying attention to your nervous system. What is your body? If your body is recoiling from something, a perceived threat, even though it may not be an actual threat, like that's something to investigate and not shame yourself for, but get deeper into the weeds about like, why is that happening? And then be able to work through that.
Yeah. And I think too, a lot of people have such stress around sex and like having a conversation about it, that just makes the whole spiral even more tricky to navigate.
Yeah. So with conversations like this, would this be contacting somebody like a pelvic floor physiotherapist?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're experiencing pain, talk to somebody. Talk to your gynecologist, talk to a pelvic floor PT. They can definitely send you in the right direction. For myself, what helped me overcome it was seeing a pelvic floor PT. That is why I actually went there. Not because I had bladder leaks, nothing, because I was just done with dealing with this and trying to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
And it helped so much.
I know you're in Canada, so it may be different versus in the United States, but do you need a referral from a gyno or a PCP to see if a pelvic floor PT?
Not here. No, we can just call and book it. Because for us, it's not covered in our global healthcare. It's something that we pay out of pocket for, or if we have benefits, we would use that, but it's not, most treatments are not covered by our provincial, we call it OHIP here in Ontario. Yeah. So that's our health coverage.
Got it. Okay, cool. I'll have to look into that for US listeners.
Yeah, I feel like in the US, you can just call and book yourself in, because I think it's the same way. You're paying out of pocket or through your benefits if you have benefits for physio. Most places, I think it's non-referral based.
Yeah, I know more so now PT in general for like even like a knee issue or something. Used to be you had to get a referral. Now it's way more open where you can just schedule your own appointment to go. So I'm sure
that's so much easier.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so in terms of exercises, and I'm sure this changes person to person. Looking at your Instagram page, honestly, some of the exercises that you post, I'm like, this is a pelvic floor exercise? Like, this is, it doesn't seem like it. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. But are a lot of the exercises that you're posting, like, is that just working pelvic floor? Yes, but also just correct core strengthening?
Yeah. So, again, going back to the pelvic floor being that stability, it creates stability in your whole body. So you mentioned it, that you have that pelvic tilt too. So think about how that connects to the rest of your kinetic chain. Like, where else is that going to show up in your body? So maybe you have tension in your shoulders, or you have weakness in those serratus muscles, that can all be linked to it. So a lot of the exercises that you see are full body exercises. So they're not necessarily isolating just the pelvic floor. It's working the entire kinetic chain to help stabilize and strengthen everything, because we want everybody to be working and grooving together, right? That's when our body's happiest and we feel good and we feel strong.
Yes. Okay. That makes sense. Because some of them I've been doing and I'm like, this is, what is, how is this my pelvic floor? But I am feeling it. I'm feeling it, you know, but yeah. It took me a minute to realize, okay, wait, maybe this isn't just pelvic, like the bowl, but it's working my entire core in a way that is working the whole core instead of just like sit-ups, which are very, I don't ever do sit-ups, but instead of no. sit-ups that are just like a isolating
yeah.
movement. Okay.
So well, if you think about like that core, right, we call it the core canister, but a lot of people just think about your six pack abs. Like that's what
yes.
their brain goes to, but your yeah. core has a top and a bottom.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a canister, right? So the top is that diaphragm and the bottom of it is those pelvic floor muscles. So it all has to work together. Your glutes, your abs, your
yeah.
multifidi, your diaphragm, it all has to work together. So,
yes.
and it's not, there's some, you know, instability or dysfunction kind of happening there.
Yeah. I think a lot of people also I actually talked to a friend about this. She kept saying she was doing deep core workouts and she was seeing deep core all over TikTok and Instagram. And personally, when I see these videos, I'm like, they're not doing it right. Their top abs are coning. Like they're not using their deep core. They're using their upper abs. And, so then I was kind of teaching her. I was like, no, when you're doing this, you shouldn't look like that. It should feel like this. And I'm like pinching in like in the inside of her hips and whatnot. Can you explain a little bit what like your quote unquote deep core is? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like, oh,
what
I do deep core, but they actually don't even realize they're not using their deep core.
Yeah. I think, oh my goodness. So many things just came to my brain there with the coning. So your deep core is like your transverse abdominis, these like layers that are behind the six pack that you
mm-hmm.
see. So they kind of wrap from your hips up and through into your back there. So that's your deep core. Think about it like a corset. It's underneath
mm-hmm.
all the other layers of clothing, which
yeah.
would be your other muscles. And you're tightening that to cinch that waist, to manage that intra-abdominal pressure. So if you're seeing somebody that's coning, they're not managing their pressure well, which means they're not breathing properly. So again, always goes back to breathing. I feel like I could have a whole spiel on just breathing and the benefits
yes.
of it.
100%. Whenever I'm in a yoga class or even like a Pilates class too, I get so frustrated because everyone around me is doing boat pose, you know, with their like sitting on their butt. And I'm like, none of you are doing this properly. Ever seen one? And I'm getting yelled at because I'm keeping my heels on the ground because that's where, as far as I could go without coning.
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm doing this properly and I'm getting yelled at because I'm not pushing myself like the rest of you.
Right. And they're probably leaving there with aching back, or they're peeing themselves, or just not feeling good after that pose, especially. Most of us are not strong enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And like double leg lifts is another one that I
yes.
see people doing. I'm like, please, please stop.
Yes. Yep.
There's no need for this.
I literally had my husband on the ground like last week and I was like, do a double leg lift. I'm going to show you you're not doing this right. I was like correcting him and he had all the coning in the world. And I was like, no, it should
it's
look
so
like
hard.
This.
It's way harder than we think. And we're, like you said, mm-hmm. you're using your upper abs to grip and pull everything up, which causes other issues.
Yeah.
Because you're not using the muscles that you want, the deep core, the hip flexors, the TVAs, that type of
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
So do you want to explain briefly what, because we've used the word coning a few times,
yeah.
just to let people know what that looks
yeah.
like.
So if your abdomen, when you're doing abdominal work, is popping out, or it might look like a little football or a little tent in that midline, that's coning.
Mm-hmm.
It can look really disturbing for some people. And some people also think like that's just normal too. I did for a very long time. I thought
oh, yeah.
that was just my muscles reacting. Now I know better. But it can lead to long-term issues like diastasis recti, even if you've never had a baby, or
mm-hmm.
what's the other thing? What am I thinking of? The word has escaped me. I keep wanting to say ulcers. It's not an ulcer. A
Hernia?
little hole. Hernia. Thank
Hernia.
you. It can lead to hernias, so we don't want that.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Hernias is a big one. I always used to be so afraid that I was going to get a hernia.
Oh my gosh. Terrifying. Because it
Very
takes a long
scary.
time to heal, if it will heal.
Yeah. So we don't want any hernias here.
No.
So learn to, and honestly, you guys just need to follow Jennifer's Instagram page because you have so many beautiful videos and beautiful content that are just such great resources on exercises, what things should look like. And it's not difficult. I mean, it might, I think of it like when I one time, once upon a time, I was in PT for a low back issue. The exercises inherently aren't like you're squatting 300 pounds on your back type of difficult. If you're not used to using those muscles, they may be difficult, but they're not like these crazy, intense, complicated workouts. They're rather simple. It might just take a little bit more of you slowing down and not trying to like do these advanced things to engage and strengthen your pelvic floor, your core, your deep core, et cetera.
I love that you said that. That's probably one of the hardest things for my clients to navigate through is the slowing down and like taking your time through it and really allowing that mind muscle connection to happen and reestablish, especially after pregnancy. There's so much that has kind of gone to sleep or like not been used, and we need to like, zone back in, and it's okay. And I think sometimes we live in a society where it's like that pressure to go, 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 go. And that parlays into our workouts. And we think it has to be some grandiose thing. And it's not, it's the basics. It's the slow movement. It's the very simple bridges.
The advanced stuff, like we talked about the boat pose. That stuff may actually be causing more of an issue for you or furthering an issue that you already have, because that's what gets you to sweat, but you're not doing it properly. So if you take it down a notch, you do it properly, you may not be breaking a crazy sweat, but you're actually going to start building the muscle and the strength and the correct function of the muscle.
Yes. And you'd be amazed how quickly that can change and just what that feeling feels like. When it changes, and you're like, wow, I didn't know I was living my life like this until now. And you feel like a new woman. It's crazy.
I'm so excited. I'm going to like make this appointment to go see a PT so soon. This conversation's getting me excited about
that. Yay.
So do you recommend anything specific for women that they maybe they have had these issues, or maybe not, but they do want to start gearing up to try to have kids here in the future? Is there anything that, any advice that you would want to give them before we kind of wrap this podcast up?
Yes, definitely. I would suggest just getting in touch with your pelvic floor. So much, many of us are disconnected from it just by society standards and like the connotations around this general region of our body as a woman. So reconnect there, start to strengthen these muscles. Chances are there's probably some weakness or some tension going on. No matter what stage of life you're in, there's probably something happening. So being connected, aware, those are two really important things. And that's going to help you carry through conception as well as pregnancy, because you're going to know, okay, I don't think it should feel like this. So I'm going to figure this out, go see the right person or do the right exercises or de-stress or whatever I need to do in this moment. I already know because I've laid that foundation for myself.
Yeah, I love that. I did think of one more question, if you're okay with that.
Lay it on me.
I was thinking about runners and cyclists. And what is your opinion on those exercises and your pelvic floor slash, is there a threshold that like you could still participate in those?
Overall? I think it really comes back to your body awareness. If you're a runner postpartum, I would say you want to reset your foundation before you get back into running, because we know that diving right back into intense cardio like that is way more damaging than helpful. It just is, whether you're healing a diastasis or just, you know, helping your pelvic floor do its job better. We want to reset that foundation and do that before we lace up and go. Huge. I think as far as like running when you're pregnant, though, I think that's something that you have to decide with your doctor. Like, I see a lot of women who have no problem running right till the end, and other women who have pains and strains and things come up. And so again, just always awareness, being aware of your own body and taking the right avenues to get to the support that you need if something is being triggered or something does come up.
Yeah. Do you see a lot of tightness with like people that are avid runners or avid cyclists?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of tension for sure.
Okay. Yeah. That I was thinking about that in terms of like the pounding. It kind of like jump roping, like you're, when you're doing so much pounding into the ground, it's just so much force into that trampoline, which is your pelvic floor, right?
Right. And if you're not able to manage your intra-abdominal pressure well, you're leaking, you're creating more tension. There's just a lot happening. Maybe you're having hip and knee issues and you haven't leaked yet, but you're on the way there.
Absolutely. It makes me think, have you ever seen those videos online of the Olympic weightlifters that pee themselves?
Oh my gosh, all the time. People send them to me all the time. They're like, what are your thoughts? And I'm like, well, the pelvic floor muscles are just not able to keep pace with the strength of the rest of the body. And if this is okay for that person, then okay. But if they want to fix it, it's now a matter of getting those muscles to match your other muscles, endurance and strength, which isn't always easy.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. That's what, I never peed when I competed, like during a lift, but I do remember I would go to the bathroom multiple times during a session because I felt like I was going to, if I didn't empty my bladder before.
Yes. So it's like that tension, like an urge. What happens when your muscles are tense, they're holding your bladder really tight and hostage, so it can't fill properly.
Yeah.
So there's that duality there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anything else that you would like to add?
Oh my goodness. I feel like we covered so much. This has been so much fun. I could talk about pelvic floors all day.
So wait, I've referenced your Instagram page several times. Where can the people find you on Instagram? And is there anywhere else as well?
Yes. I'm everywhere. So I'm on TikTok. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. I'm most active on Instagram. That's my like love of my life. So you'll see a lot more goodies and gems on there. So you can find me. It's at my name, Jennifer Sharp, with a little underscore at the end. It's, what is it? Postpartum and pelvic floor health. It'll say that as my name, not my name. So my name is my handle. So.
Okay. Got it. I will link that in the show notes so that you guys can find her really easily. And you should definitely go find her, start incorporating some of these things that we talked about today. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been so much fun.